Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.
People are dying all over this country every day. Drug overdose.
Hourly.
Walking. Yep. It's walking across the border.
Yep.
And yet nobody takes responsibility for that. And the Republicans, the spineless Republicans, don't blame it on the Democrats. That's exactly what needs to be done.
All righty, welcome back, Financial Guys Media Network, the show where money meets politics. Mike Spiraza here with Mike Lomas today. Glenn Wiggle on a little vacation. Mike, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. Good to Glenn taking 2 days off, so a little mini vacation.
Yeah, we'll be back. We had a golf tournament Monday. That was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. We did our best. Yeah. We did our best. I like best ball because there's four people and we still score crummier than like a pro would, but it's still like, you know, like in our group, we had Ron Pierce and we used most of his shots. So it was good. I didn't have to use my own. So.
That's right. Yeah. You and I did not use many of our shots that day, but that's all right.
But you know what? Occasionally you use one or two and then you feel like a hero and you move on. So
that's good. Right.
Golf should be 12 holes, by the way.
Whoever it should be.
Invented 18 holes of golf is insane.
Your body just falls apart after the 12th anyway.
Mentally fatigued after 12. That's what I mentally did. Like the people, actually Chris was in our group, Moody from our Medicare team. And he's like, yeah, he goes on this thing. He plays 36 holes 3 days in a row. Like, why would you do that to yourself? Like, that's just like, you know, I would, you know, personally rather just go in a closet for the day and turn the lights off and sit there for 36, like torment myself.
And they walk a lot of those 36 holes too. I mean, that's just too much for
me. I enjoy it, but I get to the point where I like, okay, enough bad shots and enough. It's just mentally fatiguing. Yep. Physically, whatever. I could do 80 holes, but but mentally I'm drained by 12.
Yeah, and it's tough on like a Monday too, because you can't really have as many beers as you'd like right on a Monday when you got a full week ahead of you too. That's right. The other problem.
Well, that was probably part of the problem. We didn't have enough alcohol to actually play good. So the perception would be that we're playing good with more alcohol in us. So
it wasn't our skill level. That was amazing.
It was fun.
It was a good time. So we got a lot of clips lined up today. Never a dull moment here, as I always say with some of these things. I mean, these people are truly, truly out of their freaking minds.
Well, what do you say now? I mean, the stock market's had a pretty hefty pullback. The bond market has had a pullback. We've got record inflation, and we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll play some clips about inflation. But I mean, inflation is crushing the poor and the middle class. I mean, absolutely crushing. You got $5 a gallon. I went out to eat the other day. I bought chicken fingers for my daughter. And we were on the way to my parents' house. I said, well, I'll buy 10 chicken fingers, whatever, so there's enough for other people. It's $30.
Yeah.
$30. Now, folks, Glenn and I and a team here, we've built up a pretty big business over the last 20-something years. And we're blessed enough to not have to worry about some of that stuff. I can't imagine being a family, you know, living on a fixed income and trying to survive out of this. I mean, you know, $30 for 10 chicken, really? For 10 chicken fingers? And so who's driving around in their car and going, this Joe Biden's doing a great job. I mean, this is amazing. This is wonderful. Build back better. I'd be sick to my stomach if I voted for this guy. I'm sick to my stomach and I knew what was coming. I'd be really sick to my stomach thinking, this is what I signed up for? This is what I saw, an Alzheimer patient who's drowning the poor in the middle class.
To your point too, Mike and I talked about this on the radio show on Saturday, but we got two small salads before the show to eat something. Two small salads, $32.
Yeah.
I mean, we were like, what is going on, right? And then, you know, Stefan and I talked about this yesterday. It's hard to, you know, when you say his approval rating still at 33%, who the hell is the 33%?
Yeah, what one-third of the country thinks he's doing a bang-up job?
Right, but and 73% of Democrats, too.
I will say, though, his approval ratings this was just announced, I guess when it was Tuesday or Wednesday morning, this was announced that his approval ratings are now lower than Jimmy Carter at this point. And, you know, for a long time, it was Carter that was looked at as the worst president ever. Mm-hmm. And Obama did a bang-up job, although the Republicans during Obama did enough to sort of stop a lot of his stupidity. You know, it was the first 2 years where he was going to ram Obamacare down everybody's throats, but then it just got crushed and cut off. But he did his best job, you know, cash for clunkers and some of that dumb stuff. But Carter was still number one. This guy, by far, is going to go down in history as the worst president we've ever had. And again, the one third driving around saying this is great. And you know what I hear? Well, it's not his fault about gas prices. BS. It is 100% his fault about gas prices. 100%. I mean, first day in office, he stopped the pipeline. I mean, these things trade on a futures market. They say during Trump, what the oil industry and the commodities industry was doing is was pricing in even more fuel. We were going to complete that pipeline. We would have more fuel, not less fuel. So we went from taking property off of federal land, being able to have the ability to continue to drill on some of this property, and the optimism of a pipeline that was going to bring even more money or more fuel. So now we're producing 2 million barrels less per day. And the assumption was at this point, if we had Donald Trump, not only would we still be producing those 2 million, we would be in a position to produce 3 million or 4 million or whatever we needed to push us out of this recession. At this point, we should be selling fuel to Europe. But it is 100% his fault. 100% his fault. 100%.
But here's the thing, Mike. Let's throw out gas for a second. I know that's a tough thing to do because it's a huge deal, but let's throw out that. Okay, let's look at the border. That's not any better.
No, right?
Let's look at, you know, race relations. That's not any better, right? The unifier, right? Let's look at anything. It's not any better. Not one thing.
Yeah, the border is encouraging, and this is what the Democrats are all about, failure. They really are. They're all about you being a failure, and the government will help you. The government is there to protect you, right? It's never the message of, hey, you can do this on your own. You don't need government help. You're a big boy. You can put on your own pants, right? The message is never, hey, you're a business owner. We're going to help you. Right? In fact, the other day, president was complaining. Maybe we have one of the clips about, well, you know, these mega people, they just want. You want to play that? Let's play that clip.
Look, I believe in bipartisanship, but I have no illusions about this
liar.
Republican Party, the MAGA Party.
Can you stop there for a minute? I know he's an idiot. I know he's an absolute moron. But does he understand what MAGA stands for?
I don't think so.
The MAGA Party, like you nasty, nasty human being. Make America great again. Make America great again. Do you need to be a Democrat or Republican to think that's a good idea? Make America great again? The nasty MAGA Party.
You're instantly racist and you're instantly an insurrectionist.
That's right.
Immediately if you're
a MAGA
follower.
And
right?
To their credit, they've done a wonderful job of marketing because they do not care. They lie to you. If you still really believe that the fuel prices aren't Biden's fault, you're buying into the CNN garbage. You're one of the 0.007% of people that actually watch that garbage and believe it. Yep. The mega people. Yep. Make America great again. That means low fuel prices. That means an affordable living. That means jobs for people. Jobs. Not 59 million people sitting home on welfare. That means jobs.
Because along on parts of my plan. Mm-hmm. But the fact is Republicans in Congress are still in the grip of the ultra MAGA agenda.
Uh-huh.
What is that, by the way?
Yeah, what is that? That means believing in business owners.
Yeah.
That means the corporate tax cut. Yes. And you dummies on the left, and that's what you are. You're idiots. If you the basics of economics, okay, you can't cut corporate taxes. They're making enough money. Guess what? They don't pay it. How many times do we have to tell you this? They moved to Dubai. If you're going to put a 40% corporate tax rate on these corporations, they're not going to pay anything. They're going to move their headquarters to Dubai. They're going to move their headquarters to Ireland. They're going to move their headquarters to China, which is at a 19% corporate tax rate. All America did, all Donald Trump did, was bring that in line so it was somewhat competitive so we could keep and bring manufacturing jobs back to America. And he did that. They were on their way back. Many of them have stopped because they thought, well, they don't know the game plan anymore. What is it? I mean, the new agenda wants to increase those taxes. So I'm not going to relocate. That's like saying I'm going to relocate from New York to Florida, but the new governor is threatening a 10% state tax there. Well, you know what? Let me reconsider this then. You know what I mean? I'm moving to Florida because DeSantis is there, and he gave us better taxes. We're very confident that those tax rates are going to stay. Uh-oh, they've changed, right? But manufacturing jobs were coming back for people who actually wanted to work, Make America Great is very simple. It means giving people free market capitalism worked. It's the best system that was ever invented. Nothing will ever be perfect because humans aren't perfect. Many of us have all kinds of different, we talk about it all the time. Glenn's got a photographic memory. I do not.
Yep.
I don't. Does it? Guess what? Glenn and I make the same amount of money.
Right.
Well, how could that be? Well, I had to work harder at certain things, and sometimes I had to read things three or four times to get to where Glenn was at once. My brain was more marketing, though. A lot of the stuff that we've created, a lot of the departments we've created, I came up with those ideas, right? So my mind thinks differently. It's okay. It's how the world works. Not everybody's going to make – I played basketball in high school. I love basketball. That was my thing in high school. Yours was football, right?
Yeah.
Mine was basketball. Guess what? No matter how hard I work, I'm never playing in the NBA. I'm not. No,
but isn't it amazing how
– I could have probably played in the NFL. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced of that.
I bet you could have.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that frustrates me, and Stefan and I talked about this yesterday. These people that complain about capitalism and the society of the United States are the ones that benefit the most from it.
That's right.
Right? The celebrities, the athletes, right? LeBron James, the guy is a billion-dollar athlete because of the United States of America.
They're just not that bright. They're just not that bright.
Yeah.
He's selling Nike shoes to China as they're putting kids in sweatshops.
Right.
And he's not bright enough to recognize the hypocrisy of any of that.
But the Saudi Arabian Gulf, like, oh, my God, that's a human crisis over there, right? Like, but that's not in China. I mean, it's really frustrating. And to your point before, Mike, about, you know, the CNN, there was a CNN clip I'm going to play next about comparing Biden to Carter. You mentioned Obama. At least with Obama, though, and I'm not an Obama fan by any means, but at least like you're like, okay, I could see this guy can talk and he has something about
it. Well, it was likable. He was a good looking guy, had a lot of charisma, had a beautiful family, right? So he was that American dream. This guy's an Alzheimer's. He's got Alzheimer's.
He absolutely does.
He clearly has dementia. And it's a shame that, you know, many people voted this guy in, whether we think it was stolen or not. Many people pulled the lever for him. I've run into these people, and I'm thinking, and I tell them, hey, thanks for the $5 a gallon gas. I'm sure you're happy with that now. But he's clearly a dementia patient, and he should be in a nursing home, really, you know, getting help. He's not. And so now he's running the country, right? And, you know, fortunately, there's a few middle-of-the-road Democrats that have stopped some of this. To your point, though, and I think this is one of the biggest tragedies, is this overwhelming amount of people walking over our border. And there's two parts of that tragedy. One is we'll continue to not get the right people. If you let in people and they start their relationship off illegally, it's probably not going to work out real well for a bunch of those folks. It's like getting into a relationship and the first night you find out that your person cheated on you. Like, you know, we went out for dinner. We had a great dinner. We agreed that we were going to be, you know, we were going to date each other. And then the next night they went out and cheated on you, right? Yeah. Probably not going to work out real well, right? You know, so, but if we get the right people in the country that believe in America, that want to learn our language, that want to, that really want to build something up, okay, that's how we make America great and we build it back better. The other part of that problem, though, and I've been stressing this, is the drug problem.
Yep.
And the massive amount of people, kids, that look at, we were all kids. And I would say this, most of us as kids did really dumb things. We want to fit in. We want to be cool. We want to be accepted.
Yep.
It's way easier. You know, what's amazing is I remember going from high school to college, and just for some reason, like a switch flipped. And I was like, you know, you could have like there was a whole different layer of maturity in college.
Yep.
Not that you didn't do stupid stuff in college, but you were more accepting of people. Everybody seemed to be more accepting, but there wasn't as many cool gangs and this cool group and that cool group. It was more accepting. Still do dumb stuff.
Yep.
Lots of us look back. We did a lot of dumb stuff in college, right? But especially in high school, very impressionable. Oh, wait a minute. I can finally be accepted in this group if I do some of these drugs.
Yep.
The problem is the massive amount of fentanyl that's coming over the border that's getting snuck into some of these drugs. And innocent people are dying every single day. And it's amazing how, you know, there's a shooter, top shooting, awful. The Republicans or the Democrats right away, that blood is on your hands, Republicans. You want those guns. We want safe guns. We want people with safe guns. But people are dying all over this country every day. Drug overdose.
Hourly.
It's walking across the border.
Yep.
And yet nobody takes responsibility for that. And the Republicans, the spineless Republicans, don't blame it on the Democrats. That's exactly what needs to be done. That blood is on your hands. Those people dying are in your. The fentanyl last year up 4,000%. That's what we caught. So we have border agents that aren't doing their job. I'm not saying they're not. These are great people who want to be there. But again, we've got an incompetent leadership from the White House that's saying, you know, you're not allowed to do your job.
Yep.
We still busted 4,000% more fentanyl last year. So I had a Democrat say, well, see, they're doing their job. No, you idiot. That means that less people at the border. We still had a 4,000% increase in fentanyl bust. That means
20,000 times more.
Endless amounts of fentanyl came over because of the massive amount of people that are now coming over to the border because there's no ramifications to it. You know, oh, here's your cell phone. I think you'll find everything in order. If you sign up as a Democrat, you'll get all your welfare benefits. We can move that number from 59 million people to 69 billion people and secure the next presidential election.
I think to me what's worse too, I mean, that's obviously horrible, but then you look at these brilliant leaders like in New York City that are putting posters in subways saying, hey, be strong, shoot in a safe space. No, that's not the answer.
Right.
Stay strong and get the hell off the drugs, right? Yeah. And you look at California, there's safe shooting zones everywhere, free needles. Like, we're just doing everything the wrong way.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. Looking at the results of this, right? So if we were able to put a program in place like that, and then a year later say, hey, look at what happened to the streets of San Francisco. Look at how much cleaner they are. Look at, we're down 20%. We're down 30% in the amount of abuse, right? Yep. The opposite happens every single time. I mean, you can't make it up. It's like, how dumb could you possibly be? You did A, it didn't work, so you do A again. You triple up on A, and it's, we need more money. We need more money. We need more money. There's a clip on that, right? Don't we have a clip on we need more money? What was the clip? So it's always about money.
Well, there's a couple. Oh,
by the way,
this, yes.
Let me thank Stefan Mihailu for throwing us some clips this morning and helping us prep.
And of course, we're not going in order. That's our problem right now. Here we go. This is the money clip. This is a mother from South Carolina talking about the inflation and gas prices and what's happened to her family.
Yeah. Oh, that might be a different one.
That's a different one. Sorry.
Yeah, so I have a 25-year-old and a 29-year-old, and the concern that I have for them right now is with the state of inflation and the economy being what it is, it's going to be very difficult for them to invest and buy their first home, and it could be 10 years from now, if ever, that they can do that. And unless something is done and we vote these current people that are in office.
Almost impossible, by the way. It's going to get to the point where it's almost impossible. You know, there was an experiment that was done over the last 30 years that didn't work out real well. It was called California. And what happened in California is exactly what's happening now across the country, where we had massive inflation, right? Now, who did well in California? The trust fund babies did really well. If your mom and dad were pretty wealthy and they were able to set aside money for you, you were able to buy a house. That house appreciated because other people couldn't afford it, a very select group of people who could afford it, right? And then you swap that equity and you buy another house and you buy another house, right? Because people say, who could afford a $3, $4 million house? Well, when mom and dad start you out with a $700,000 house, an $800,000 house, and that $800,000 moves to $1.6, you can swap that equity and continue to do that, right? But what happened in California? What was the result of that? Well, did the poor get less poor? No, the poor got more poor. Now we're at a 17 or an 18% homeless rate in the state of California. So think about that. You know, almost 20% of everybody living in California does not have a home anymore. They can't afford it, right? So we see how this plays out. It doesn't end up well for the poor and the middle class, right? So now you've got a lot of what I would call upper middle class. Upper middle class means I can afford an apartment or I can buy a house with you, Mike. So our families need to live together in a 3,000 square foot house. We have heat, we have air conditioning, we have a refrigerator. We don't have really comfy living conditions because we're all living together, but we're living, right? And then you've got the uber rich who continue to be uber wealthy, right? Now, why? Well, it's because they are able to buy the resources that you have to rent, right? Mm-hmm. You can't afford that down payment on that house. That house is now $1 million and it's a $200,000 down payment. You can't afford it. Well, guess what? I'm either a trust fund baby or I've made a lot of money and I can rent that back to you and you'll pay that house out for me. And now I have another $1 million asset on the books. The wealthier get wealthier. Some of the richest people in the world live in California. They're making more money off that upper middle class. Even the poor, Who do you think they're buying this stuff from? They're making them. They get wealthier, poor get poorer. We're seeing that now play out across the country.
Isn't it amazing too? You look at, to your point about how this just continues to fail. It's never worked, right? But you look at it. What was it? San Francisco, the DA that just got thrown out. You know, one of his solutions to the homelessness, you know, defecating on the streets problem was, we just need more public bathrooms.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Yeah. We need to put more public bathrooms in, and that'll get people to stop crapping on the floor.
Not the mental illness of crapping on the street. And I do believe a lot of these people, their intent is right. I mean, their intent is good. His intent is, okay, these people are homeless, they have nowhere to go, but it's never fixing the problem. It's never making the hard choices to fix the problem. A huge part of that is mental illness, right? We continue to fund trying to take guns from good people instead of working on the mental illness problem that's out there. Something like $5 billion we spend on mental illness every year. Yeah. We've closed all the mental institutions because we can't give anybody that stigma of being mentally ill.
It hurts feelings.
It hurts feelings. But we're spending $500 million on trying to take away guns from people. That's the problem. A huge part of the problem, mental illness, and attacking that at a very young age, right? And coming up with strategies to help that with that, right? Meditating, things, understanding, how do I deal with this when I've got a mental issue? Where do I go, right? There's no help anywhere. We're living in Buffalo, New York. You try to get help for mental illness because we've had clients that have tried to do it, nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found.
To quote Jen Psaki, though, with some of this stuff, like, let's go to the root causes, right? Mm-hmm. The root causes of crap all over the streets is there's 20% homeless there, right? Yeah. That's the root cause. Like, let's attack that.
Right.
The root cause of people coming over the border is not the other countries south of us. It's not them. It's the fact that we have a wide open door.
That's right.
And it's easy to get through.
We've invited them.
Yeah. These people just don't. And like, maybe you're right. Maybe they are thinking they're doing the right thing. But these people cannot mentally be fit to be in office or fit to do anything if they actually think that's going to help more public bathrooms. Are you freaking kidding me?
There's some of them that are actually thinking they're doing the right thing. They haven't really studied the results of anything that's happened, right? And there's others that understand exactly what they're doing. The Clintons are very sharp, right? The Obamas are very sharp. They know they've made a lot of money on the backs of pretending to help the poor and the middle class, right? They haven't done a damn thing to help any of them. But they've made a lot of money doing it. You can see the Clintons are a great example of how they've shifted, right? Over the last bunch of years, the Clintons were all about strong borders. Billy was supportive of the capital gains cut, tax cut. Yep. I mean, and then all of a sudden they realized, wait a minute, we can make more money by lying about helping the poor and the middle class. And that's the direction they went. They don't care about anybody. There's been report after report about how miserable and nasty Hillary Clinton was to people in that White House. Report after report. And you know what? I've said all the time, if it looks like an outhouse and it smells like an outhouse, it's probably an outhouse. If one person says something nasty about you, all right, you know what? I mean, okay, maybe, you're in a position of power. But when person after person after person says, you were a miserable you-know-what at that White House, that's money-hungry, all about stealing hundreds of millions of dollars in net worth. They give away none of it. I mean, that should be a red flag right there.
Yep.
All right. You're a Democrat and you got $100 million net worth and you don't give away any of it. To me, I would wake up and I would take that coffee and go, I'm smelling it.
Yep.
I'm smelling it.
Yep.
It doesn't smell right. I'm not drinking it, but no, they're right back at it. He's a hero, right? Cheats on his wife. A hero just, gets in front of the American people, says, I never did that. And everybody's like, no. They find out he did it. Doesn't matter. It's amazing.
And Barack Obama's done a number on his former city, right? He's helped out Chicago quite a bit over the years with all his money that he's made. He's done a real nice job there.
A great example of that, right? Yep. So he is a black man who is in a position of power to be able to actually attack the root cause, to your point, of what was going on in Chicago. How did that work out? How has Chicago done since Barack Obama has been president? I'll tell you how it's done. It's been a miserable, miserable, disgusting failure. The city's gotten worse and worse. It's gotten more dangerous. More people have left there. Where are they moving to? They're moving to Florida. They're moving to Texas. They're moving to the places that welcome their money and their freedom.
Now, I don't want to go on any more bad news. Let's hear some good news from Joe Biden regarding his economy and where the future's headed for us.
I don't want to hear any more of these lies about reckless spending. We're changing people's lives. And because of the facts, this year, we're delivering the biggest drop in deficit in the history of the United States of America.
Mike, this was yesterday.
We're changing people's lives.
This was yesterday. This wasn't like months ago. This was yesterday.
He does know that parents are now rationing whether they should eat or the kids should eat. I mean, really, that's where we are in society at this point, where, you know what? Okay, my income has not gone up to match the massive increase in the price of milk and cookies and eggs. Should I buy more? Target's earnings were a great example of what's going on right now. Are people still shopping? Absolutely. Target's earnings were down 25%. What does that mean? That tells me that they're still going in. They're just not buying three pairs of socks. They're buying two.
Yep.
They're rationing, right?
Yep.
Are they buying, 24 eggs? Or are they buying 12 eggs and mixing more, milk into them? That's what they're doing. That's what the earnings are telling you, right? At some point, this will change, by the way. People say, well, I had somebody the other day say, is this a good time to get out of stock market? I'm like, no, it's a good time to buy in the stock market. Right. Things are cheap, right? Yep. And the market will always overcorrect. It'll always go the wrong way on the upside, meaning a little too much. Yep. It'll go on the downside too much. And this is a phase we're going to have to work through. But stocks at some point will all of a sudden become back into favor, and you'll see stocks rally, and people will miss it, and then they'll get back in when things are way more expensive.
I mean, we have the notes here. Inflation, 40-year high. Gas prices, 50% up in 1 year, 100% up in 2 years, right? Yeah. Groceries up 12% in 1 month. American spending, Sarah and I were just saying this, my wife and I, just yesterday, I put in $95 of gas in my car, and the day before she put in $75.
Yeah.
That's 1 week.
Well, and to that point, there's because I've had people say, okay, Mike, yeah, but it's a global supply chain issue. You're right. It is. And there's things that are really, truly out of the control of the United States of America. By the way, the biggest part of that is going to be China. China's got a huge economic summit coming up in the fall. You will see the Chinese drag these people back out of their houses and do whatever they have to do so those numbers in the fall reflect a positive growth in China. So China will no longer be the excuse. But there are issues globally we got to deal with, right? So what do? Well, you make your house the best house, right? If you're living on a street and you're saying, you know what, my street isn't the greatest, all right? Well, fix your house up first. Lead by example. By the way, you can win. You can win. These are the times to win. I tell business owners that over the time. 20-something years in business, Glenn and I have built our business the most during recessions. They stink. It's awful. I mean, nobody likes when the stock market's down, right? But number one, we rebalance our portfolios and take advantage of it, right? So we try to do, and I say all the time, these are the times to buy stocks. I've been through this 20-something years of doing this. Every single time you want to buy stocks, now, you'll never find the bottom. I remember the Dow going from 10,000 to 6,000, and did we buy at the bottom of 6,000? No, we bought at 6,500 and at 7,000. Yeah. But now looking back, were those great moves? They were awesome moves, okay? Number one. Number two, as you're building a business, your competition steps aside during these recessions. They make excuses. Oh, boy, well, we can't work now because, this and that, and da, 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 da. That's when you bring on new clients. I don't care what you're selling. If you're a real estate agent out there, well, the housing market's slowing down. Well, guess what that's probably going to mean? It's probably going to mean that some real estate agents are going to go into something else because they're going to say, I can't sell homes in a recession, right? And that's when you step up and you build a name for yourself and you set yourself up so when things come back, you're better off for it, right? Doesn't matter what the industry is. You got to take advantage of it during a recession. The United States of America should be doing the same thing. Wait a minute. China locked people in their house. Australia's locking people in their house. Guess what? Let's open up America. Let's cut corporate taxes so it's even more attractive to come back here. Let's cut individual tax rates for people that actually pay taxes. Give them more of their money back. Let's open up the fuel supply. And for you folks who want to go, this is my favorite. Well, you got to go to battery operated cars. Guess what? Batteries only store electricity. They don't produce electricity. They store it. You've got to make it somewhere else, right? So I'm all for, if you want to do that and you want to make it more attractive to have these different types of cars, well, give them tax breaks. Give them huge tax breaks, incentives to create stuff. Yeah. Don't give them money. Every time we give them, there's another electric vehicle, by the way, that went bankrupt last week, another electric vehicle manufacturer. You can't do that. Can't give people money. We've seen it for 30 years, too. Every time I've given people stuff in business, never works out. When I give them incentives, hey, look, if you hit these bonuses, Jay Blanchard office has been awesome with that. All right, here's the incentive. You do it this way, we'll give you the incentives to grow. If you don't, we're not, right? That works.
And, you know, not to quote you and Glenn from March of 2020, Mike, but when you shut the world down for 2 months, 6 months, 12 months, 24 months, you wonder why these moments of inflationary times and disaster have struck, right?
Right.
You've had people not working for 2 years. You've given away trillions of dollars. What did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
You know, forget where gas comes from, where stuff comes from. If your own country can't work and doesn't work, that's probably a recipe for really bad times. And here we are 2 years later.
One of the biggest mistakes, if not the biggest mistake of the Trump administration, is the handling of COVID and going along with this ridiculous, I'm going to shut down restaurants. And you never, ever, ever shut down the economic engine that makes life happen. You never do that. I don't care what. If a bomb takes out 10 states, you do not shut down the economic engine. And that's exactly what they did. And Trump got crushed for it, and he should have. They was just awful, the handling of COVID. Okay, I'll put my face diaper on, even though we have no proof of it. Okay, it's okay to shut down restaurants. And I mean, you don't ever do that. You give people the option. You give people the choice. You want to go out with a face diaper, you got a face diaper. Especially, literally, 2-3 weeks in, we knew. You can go back to any one of our shows. Within 3 weeks, we were talking about the fact that people that are getting COVID are the ones hiding from it, and the people that are out, less likely to get it. Andrew Cuomo said it himself. Obvious. And DeSantis looked at it and said, okay, I'm opening up. Guess what? We're talking about winners and losers.
Yep.
DeSantis was a winner out of this. A few weeks in, he looked at all the data. He said, I'm not buying it anymore. Looked at Sweden. Sweden was ahead of us in the race for COVID. Sweden didn't do anything. Their numbers were better. He opened up fast. He opened up everything. And guess what happened? They won. More people went down there. They've got a huge tax surplus now. Their roads look better. Their schools are better now. Their bridges are better. That more people want to be there. more jobs are there.
I'll tell you too. I mean, I hear every day on the radio driving in, you're still hearing these COVID-19 commercials and vaccine commercials too. Well, am I missing something? Because everybody I know that's gotten COVID over the last 4 months is all vaccinated, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Every single one of them. I don't know one unvaccinated person that got the virus over the last 4 months.
What happens is more of our wasting more of our tax money, where they give these people huge amounts of, here's a grant to run commercials. And by the way, if you don't use all the money, you're going to lose it. So they're still running some of our tax money.
That's our
tax money getting flushed down the toilet every time you hear that commercial.
It's infuriating. And I think, you know, to what we talked about too before, Mike, what's frustrating about this is the people making these decisions all across the country on many, many hot issues, the border, the economy, COVID, whatever it is. I know they're elected in, but maybe voters should really start to think about, are these the actual people that we want making these decisions? Because they fail us every single time.
Well, the criteria now for the Biden administration is not to pick the best candidate.
Yeah.
You need to be certain things you need to be transgender. It's not, so you don't need to really know, the head of the Department of Transportation, totally incompetent. Mayor Pete, totally incompetent, right? Proved it time and time again. But we're going through a crisis, and he decides to take 2 months off, right? Totally incompetent, right?
Could you imagine taking 2 months off of work?
Now, do I say don't hire somebody because they're gay or transgender? No. I say hire the best person for the job. If that person happens to be transgender, but they're the best person for the job, 100% supportive of it. But don't have it as a criteria that, okay, the only people I'm going to pick are because they're transgender. That is a recipe for disaster, and that's what we have now. We've got we haven't said this is the position, we're going to go out and get the most qualified candidate. We've said this is the position. Oh, and for you to even be considered, you have to be dot dot dot.
What's a great example of that? Our vice president, a non-white female, right?
Yeah.
That's what it was. That's what it had to be, right?
That's right.
And she, the Democratic Party's turning on her, obviously, though, because is a total waste of space.
The Democratic Party will turn on anybody who's not useful anymore.
Right.
That's what happens, right? When you're
used.
Andrew Cuomo was very useful for the Democrat Party. He was a shining star. The minute he wasn't, gone. The minute he wasn't winnable, he's gone. Gone. Yep. Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah. Throw him under the bus and hope he doesn't take anybody with him.
Right? It's really sad, though, because at the end of the day, we keep coming back to the same point. The people that these people say they're going to help are always the ones that get killed the most. And literally and figuratively, yeah. Right? Literally in cities like Chicago and New York, and figuratively in the pocket, right? All these people that they promised a better life for are getting just destroyed by these gas prices, by inflation, by you name it.
Yep.
Every day.
Yep.
It's horrifying.
Yep. I agree. All right. What do we got? Another clip.
You want to go to the sixth grade teacher?
Yes.
Let's go to the sixth grade teacher.
Yes.
She is talking about coming out to her students as
again. So for those of you on the left that listen to our podcast, because apparently you just will like to anger yourself. Yep. I could care less whether she's coming out of the closet. I could care less. I really could care less if somebody's gay, straight. I don't care. Right.
In her car with a mask around her chin, filming this.
Oh, I love that. Yes. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Face type on the chin.
I've been wanting to do this for the past 2 years. Sorry, I'm like so emotional. And I just haven't had the courage to do it out of fear of just judgment, mostly from their parents. But I had these kids in fourth grade and now I have them in sixth and I'm sending them to middle school and I love these kids so much and I trust them and they make me feel safe.
I trust them.
I know they love me and it just felt right and I did it. And
should they love you?
It was so beautiful.
Yeah. So she came out of the club telling her sixth graders her sexuality. I'm not buying it. It's not right. It's disgusting. And one of my sixth grade teacher, by the way, I still know and still talk to actually. I don't remember thinking, God, I wonder if he's straight or gay or I didn't care. You know what? We were there to learn. We were there to learn. I was there to learn about, you know, things like DNA and history and mathematics and the English language and how to write a paper. Right. I wasn't there to get a lecture on his section. I don't care. I don't care. I don't need to know that. I'm in the sixth grade. I don't need to know that. Those kids don't need to know that.
Can we start to have a conversation about the fact of why you want to talk about that with children? Like, what do these people get out of talking about sexuality, sex, whatever, with a 12-year-old or an 11-year-old? It's just weird.
Yeah.
No. I don't want to talk about that with adults,
right?
Let alone a 12-year-old.
That's right.
It's just so bizarre to me, and I don't know what we're trying to push here. Like, what are we trying to push? Sexualizing kids at a younger age so they start getting pregnant younger? Like what are we doing?
I don't know. I mean, it's for some reason they feel like they're not accepted, and so this is their way of just ramming it down everybody's throats. And I'm all for, by the way, more inclusiveness, meaning like, you know, conversations with children about being nice to people, right? I've said a big part of that, though, it doesn't start in the classroom in sixth grade when you learn that your teacher's a lesbian. I think it starts in the cafeteria with making sure kids are including other kids, right? Yep. The conversation is, hey, look, some of the kids are going to be shy. Some of the kids are going to be more outgoing. Your kids that are more outgoing, we really need you to be more inclusive. So little Billy or little Sally's not sitting by herself, right? I'm all for all those conversations. What I'm not for is my sixth grader learning all about the sex life of the teacher.
And I was going to say, to me, it's very similar. Sexualizing kids is very similar to like showing kids cocaine and heroin at the school at 10 years old, right? Like, are you just looking for people to get intrigued by this stuff and get involved in it? Like, is that what you're going for? Because when you talk about this stuff, it opens kids' minds way earlier than they should be. Like, to your point, Mike, when I was in fourth, fifth, sixth grade, it was like, where's gym class and when is lunch?
Right.
And, okay, I have a couple subjects I like. I'm looking forward to those.
Yeah.
I never once at a fourth, fifth, sixth grader was like, let's talk about sex in class. Hey, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Right? Never.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I'm straight. Let me tell you about my girlfriend. No.
Yeah.
No.
Never. Not ever. And it goes both ways, Mike, to your point. It's not about gay, transgender, straight. All those things should not be talked about in school. One of them.
If my sixth grader was talking about his girlfriend, I would hope my parents would have said, you know, that's not what you're there for. You're not there for that. You're there to teach them, you know, how to write a paper. You're not there to talk about, you know, your date life. You're not there to talk about your sexuality. You're there to talk about mathematics. One plus one is two, right? Now let's go back to some of that. They've actually messed up that too with the Common Core.
And I'll say too, Mike, you know, before we finish up, I coach kids in the local area and they're high school kids, right? So they're mature individuals. I've had kids say stupid things to me on the sideline of a football practice or game. And you have to tell them, guys, enough.
Inappropriate.
Like inappropriate, yeah. Right? I've done that 100 times, right? Because, you know, they think I was a younger coach at the time, like, oh, we'll joke around with this guy. No, it's not funny, right? Like, yeah. I'm not going to talk to a high school kid about sexual things or anything drinking related, whatever.
Right.
You can't do that. That's part of your job as an educator, as an adult, to tell kids that's not appropriate. It's not that hard.
That's right.
Do we have any other clips you want to play here? I don't know.
I think we're good. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
We're good. Quick one for today. I know Are you have another one? Well, maybe. We may be having Rudy Giuliani on the radio show on Saturday. Stefan Mihailo and Ryan Norton are filling in.
Yep.
I hopefully, knock on wood, I'm going drag racing. My buddy Joe Urbino helping me put my car together. So, of course, biggest problem is been parts and being able to get stuff. So that's a big problem. But hopefully I'm out racing, but we may have a special guest on Saturday.
I'm talking to Dr. Paul Alexander this week, so I'm looking forward to that. That'll be an interesting conversation, so we can keep...
What is he up to? Did he say, or you don't know that yet? You're going to interview him?
We're doing an interview, so we're going to talk some COVID. I want to bring up some monkeypox to him, see if anything ever came of that disaster.
A great doctor, Dr. Paul Alexander, one of the few that stepped up in the beginning and said, the way we're handling this is absolutely ridiculous. And I give him a lot of credit. We've talked to a lot of doctors. Yep. Most of them said how ridiculous that was handled. There was a few that, you know, everybody has their own opinions, their own way to, but the ones that thought like that, really many of them did not step up, as most people didn't, you know. So how many people did we run into that said, oh, these masks are stupid, but yet you walk in, they're walking into Wegmans with their face diaper strapped on their head. So I give him a lot of credit. He stepped up and said, and he was a fighter for sure.
Absolutely. Folks, thanks for joining us today. Again, we should talk about, if you need us throughout the week, right? 833-FIN-GUYS, home and auto insurance, financial planning, life insurance, Medicare. It's almost that season already, which is crazy. We're getting closer.
Yeah, turning 65, you have to think of the financial guys. Yeah. When it comes to money management, look at folks, not much you can do about the stock market going down. We can't change that, right? All of us would love the market to go straight up. But what you can do is not panic, not overreact to this, rebalance your portfolio and buy down. Look back at history. I beg of you to do that. When the market dropped from 10,000 to 6,000, the right thing to do was not to panic. It was to buy. I truly believe that corporations right now who are stacked with cash, many of them, not all of them, but many of them, and that's the key to go through your portfolio and do an upgrade, many of them are going to take advantage of this kind of volatility. Some companies are not going to make it. Guess what? Some other companies are. You know, if there's three pizzerias in a town and one of them goes out of business, the other two that are left are going to be bigger, better off for it, right? You've got to identify those opportunities. The stock market will be a leading indicator. And the stock market, at least history shows us, that once the Fed starts increasing interest rates and then inflation tops, at some point it'll top. Well, why is it going to top? Well, we're not going to go to $100 a gallon in gas. Why? Because nobody will drive. Nobody will drive, right? So there's a point where it just the economy starts to slow and prices start to stabilize, and you'll see certain stocks start to rally us back. And I also think you're going to pre-anticipate some of the midterm elections that are just going to be a total beating for the Democrats. At least I hope and pray for the future of America that we're going to see a beating. If last November is any indication of what we're going to see this November, look back at Virginia. Study Virginia and see what happened, because that was a beating of record proportions. And even in places like New Jersey, typically a blue state, guess what? Didn't win the governor's race, but won everything else, won the towns there, won the school board races, won the county races there. New Jersey is a different state now, and certainly Virginia is a different state. So, you know, you could see some optimism as long as 2 years is. If we win the midterms in a big way, I think you're going to start to see some optimism that some of this stuff's going to change and we're going to get a DeSantis or a Donald Trump, because people, at least that 10% that swing a vote, are sick and tired of paying $5 a gallon and $18 for an egg.
And to be fair, that's the light at the end of the tunnel, right?
Yeah.
Less than 5 months away from the midterm. So hopefully things start to change there. Again, folks, you need us throughout the week, 833-FIN-GUYS, Mike Spiraza, Mike Lomas. We will see you next week. All right.